All right, we're in 2 Peter, chapter number 2. 2 Timothy just rolled off so smoothly. I just want to say it again, amen. Yeah, we were looking at the first part of chapter number 2, and as we moved on, we did talk about the sinful angels, and we took a little while to explain that, and there's a lot of different ideas on what the sin of the angels were that are kept and reserved in darkness with chains of darkness. We mentioned that scripture. We won't rehash all that. So now we kind of phase on over to what we'll look at in this scripture here as it talks about the world that was not spared. This sinful world was the days of Noah before the flood. So let's look at verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person of a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So we'll look at that verse for a little while. I don't know that we'll get in the next verse. Verse 6 is going to take us a little bit longer, so because we'll be going back to Genesis to look at some things there. But anyhow, in this passage of Scripture in verse 5, it takes us back to Genesis in the days of Noah. And then we'll look at the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah later, which takes us back to the book of Genesis in the days of Abraham and Lot. So this book is New Testament. It's pointing back to some Old Testament basis and what we'll build upon doctrine. Now, if something is first mentioned somewhere, usually the principle rolls on that's the definition of it most places in the Bible. And so we'll look at some things there, because grace is it is introduced to us and mentioned in Genesis chapter number 6 concerning who Noah was, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, and if you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, we'll be there for just a little bit to look at some things. Just a little bit. Amen. It's interesting to me that growing up, our kids, when they were little, our nursery theme in our house, we used Noah's Ark stuff. Just a child's. It's been transformed into a friendly Bible story of the animals and the ark. But the story in its nature is not rated G. It's a sad story. And I kind of wonder if the devil got into that. I decorated with it. I bought stuff for it. I got all into it. But years later, I'm thinking, you try to explain this story as time goes on to your children, you know, the animal, and that's a good building area, but later on, you got to face that the sinful world that has been spoke of here, that God, it repented God, not in the way that we repent because we sin, but that God was like sorry that he had made man and allowed man to go the course, because it was really going downhill very quickly, very fast. And in that time frame there, we read in this scripture in Genesis chapter number 6, verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man. Now, I can't see all the wickedness that's going on. I only see what is seen on television, or what we might see through our media, social media and things like that, or what you might see in the real world as you go about. But God sees every bit of it, in every time zone, in every city, across every place, across this world. He sees it all. He saw all the wickedness of man. And the Bible said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it blows my mind today of the evil inventions that man design and make to pursue sexual things, to pursue other things, to try to destroy someone so they can be on top. People are plotting and planning all kinds of things that might be even religiously motivated to destroy another religion or whatever. And even in that day, man's thoughts, God knew them. Man's sins and actions, God saw them. and his heart, the heart of man, was only evil continually. So in verse 6 it said, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. That's a very sad statement.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir.
Now, God could have started all completely over. And there would have been no mankind and no Bible and no book and no record and no reason for us to ever even know. But God decided to save eight. If by faith of the grace he would show them, they would enter into the ark that he'd have to build, but he would have to do it by faith, God would save that household. So the Bible said in verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I believe that implies he sought it. I believe when God and Noah discussed, and Noah, no doubt, probably as a righteous man in his walk, in his attempt to walk for God and his pursuit to seek God, he probably saw a little wickedness as well. Because you look in the context of what we'll be later on, probably next Wednesday night, Lot, he vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing. So I know that if that man did, I know Noah saw some things and heard some things. And as it definitely, it repented the Lord that he even made man, but Noah found grace. Thank God for grace. Noah finds grace even in that sinful world. And that's our only hope today for us that are saved, that we find the grace of God and that we promote the grace of God in the wickedness of the world we're living in today. And that's the only hope for any of our loved ones that are lost or any strangers or any co-workers, is that we promote the grace of God. When God's riches at Christ's expense is a great explanation of that verse. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now in verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, just in his pursuit of God. You don't have just in your character or who you are without your pursuit of God. If you're just is not, you want to keep wanting to use justice. The justifying of who you are is built upon your own self-righteousness. That does not work in God's equation. You can't put that in God's computer and get anything out of that. We're bankrupt of our own righteousness. We're bankrupt of our own justice without pursuit of God. He sought God, prayed, and tried to walk with God. And the Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just man in verse 9, perfect in his generations. And that word perfect does not mean he was perfect without any sin. All you got to do is keep reading the Bible and you'll find that he failed in things in his life. But this means he was a complete man, a complete pursuit of God, a complete commitment to that. Even though there might be a failure or a fall in our life, if we continue to pursue or get back up or go on. He also continued not only in his own individual life, but as he tried to point his children in that direction as well. Because the Bible calls him this in 1 Peter, let me see if I can find it. That's not where I want to go. 2 Peter 2:5 again. He was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. He promoted and preached the righteousness of that which was through God. And so the scripture teaches us that. And then the Bible said in verse 9, and Noah walked with God. Amen. Enoch was another man who walked with God. Yes, he walked with God, and one day I guess he was closer to God's house than he was his own. So God took him on home.
Yes,
one preacher said there's an astronaut and a cosmonaut, and he's a was not. Y'all have heard that? Y'all have heard that one before, I'm sure some of you have. So he walked with God. So in the context of that, being a just man, a perfect man, the walk with God was that pursuit. He found grace, and God gave him a plan to build an ark. He gave him the dimensions, all the architecture. God's an engineer. We're the servants. He's the engineer of all things, and we just serve and try to put the tinker toys together, put the Lincoln logs together, amen. And he gave him a plan on this boat. There's different ideas on the dimensions of it, but most people believe, that the cubit mentioned is about from 18 inches, about an 18-inch cubit of between the bend of an arm to the tip of a man's hand. And if that's the dimensions, several hundred feet, three stories, and of course, all the things I've studied, a whole book on Noah's Ark and how that they had, you know, the poop would go in certain chutes and float out. All that makes sense. If, you know, otherwise it would be pretty bad. Now, there are unbelievers that want to look how God failed in the whole architecture of the ark. I like to be a person of faith to believe that God is smarter than that. Okay? And it had one window, and that's because you just need to look to God. Amen? And the Bible tells us that when he got through with the ark, he go in the ark at God's command. They wait 7 more days, which I still say speaks of grace. But no one came to enter the ark. No one answered the righteous preaching of 100 years of that time frame. And his own family, those 8, he's 1 of 8, and he's the 1 of 8 that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. They enter into the ark, they wait 7 days, and the Bible says God shut to the door.
That's right.
Noah didn't pull a rope and shut it and put a lock pin and say, okay, we got to wait on the rain. God shut that door.
That's right.
God sealed him in. There's a typology, I think, that is important there.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Because we are here, you can go back to 2 Peter now. Because we are here, I wanted to read something out of 1 Peter. You can go there if you'd like, but I will read it. Look at this while we're here, just for fun. Just for fun. Y'all like doing some things just for fun? Yeah. 1 Peter 3:20. I'm just kidding, because this is not one of those. This is one of those doctrines that people can take, and the whole Church of Christ has been built upon this doctrine.
Yeah. Yes.
1 Peter 3:20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So they take that, oh, salvation's by water. Okay? Verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Water baptism does not put away the filth of the flesh. Okay? But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Alright,
so now, Hebrews 11:7 says this, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now what we understand that to believe is that it had never rained on the earth. And this type of judgment of flooding had never occurred on the earth. So if it had never rained and the dew came up to water things from the ground and it never had rained, that's when you get the creation science nerds like to get involved in this and write a whole book on that there's a water canopy that was over the earth then and that it broke and flooded. And then the Bible does say, not the creation nerds, but the Bible does say that the depths broke up.
That's right.
And we know there's water in the ground. So the depths broke up, so the 40 days and 40 nights of rain not alone flooded the earth, but the depths broke up. And the water went past Mount McKinley and Mount Everest and all the mountains that were there, unless those mountains are the result of the flood. Just to give you some thought there. That's a lot of water. You know what a little bit of water can move? That's a lot of water that could move a lot of things.
Yes, sir.
The Grand Canyon, I believe, is a result of the flooding displacement of Noah's flood.
Amen.
I don't think that little creek that's there right now, the Colorado River, over 800 billion years made that trench, or whatever the people say. But anyhow, I'll be careful. I'm getting ready to hang myself on some barbed wire here. Don't want to do that. But the Bible says that God warned Noah, and the things that not as yet, that things not seen as of yet, he moved with fear. That's faith.
That's right.
Because he couldn't see what was coming yet, but he moved with faith, or the fear of God rather than the fear of what he could see.
Right.
So he prepared an ark knowing he believed that there was going to be a flood. And I believe in the context of that, it probably was hard to preach that 100 years of righteousness. because there was no water around to move that ark that size. And I'm sure they mocked him and made fun of him. But the Bible says in that preparation of that ark was to the saving of his house,
yes, sir,
by the which he condemned the world. And became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Righteousness is not by your own works, but by faith. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The whole plan of the ark was a gift of God.
That's right.
Okay? Jesus Christ, that ark's a type of Christ. In some ways, he is. And Christ is a gift to man, the gift of salvation to man. James 2:20 says this, but will thou, thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Amen.
For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Listen, as water baptism, has he explained this in 1 Peter? Because I said I was doing this just for fun, but it really isn't just for fun.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
As water baptism is associated with our faith as a believer, but it does not save us as a believer.
That's right.
If we are not raised, you think about this, the same water that saved, so-called saved those in the ark, killed every other human being and animal on the earth that was not in the ark. So water could not save those animals. So you have a doctrinal hole in your doctrine.
That's right.
You got some problems there. Okay? So being in Christ or being raised by Christ or that which is Christ, the ark was the safety. The ark was the preservation for them. The water didn't save them.
Right.
If the ark had had leaks, the water would have killed them.
That's right.
In fact, they would have drowned and trapped and a religious designed thing. Thank God I have been delivered from religion.
Amen.
But I am in Christ Jesus my Lord.
Amen.
So as water baptism is associated with our faith as a believer, if we are not raised by being in Christ, we're going to drown in that water as a religion that has no spirit.
That's right.
The same water that the ark rose up drowned those. Listen, it's about the ark for those in that day of Noah. It was about the ark.
Yes,
if they'd have gotten to the ark during that 7 day period.
Yes, sir.
So Noah, I've been thinking about this, and I believe. Can I come on the ark? Why, sure you can. There's plenty of room.
Yeah.
In fact, if you would have really become a believer, you would have slept a giraffe, a hippopotamus, or you'd have slept with anything. You'd have got in any stall you could have. If you believed the judgment of God was going to fall and the only safe place was in that ark, you would have gladly done whatever. You just said yes to God. Well, that's the condemnation and conviction I got under. And I said, yes, God, I need Jesus. I'm a sinner, and I need to be in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
To the ark in the flood, as a baptism, so to speak, transferred Noah and his family from the old world that was not spared to the new world.
That's good preaching.
Amen. And many in numerology say that 8 is a number of a new beginning.
Yes, sir.
And that makes a lot of sense there, doesn't it? Think about the Red Sea. The Red Sea, they had to, by faith, walk across that Red Sea and believe and go across on that dry land. That transferred them out of Egypt into the new land. There's a lot of thoughts there of that, as the scripture teaches us. So, the wicked person that rejects God's salvation, which basically today is just rejecting Jesus Christ. What you do with Jesus is all that's really going to matter in the end. All those years that Noah preached, they rejected the preaching of righteousness that he preached. And with him knowing, he preached, God's judgment's coming. It's going to flood the earth. Whether they believed it or not, it happened. We can't get their testimony because they died in the flood. They all were silenced. So you see the difference between the wicked and the righteous. And as he said in 2 Peter, as we started off, he said, if God spared not the angels, And God spared not that old world. What he's trying to lead us to point to is that God's not going to spare us if we reject him. If we walk in wickedness, we're going to be judged. There's a judgment coming. We believe biblically, as we'll look at later in chapter 3, I don't want to get ahead here, but the Bible's the Bible, that there's going to be a time of judgment upon this earth where God's not going to flood it. Hence, the rainbow was a symbol, not for any political group or religious group. Really doesn't belong to a certain church. It belongs to humanity. God said, I'm not going to flood this earth again.
Amen.
Okay? Next time, it will be destroyed by fire.
Yes, sir.
And that baptism of fire and judgment will, listen, that will be a new earth and a new beginning that God will bring after that. That day of the Lord that's going to come, as the scripture talks about there. All those that rejected God were not spared. As he said, they spare not the angels. They spare not the old world. God judged the wickedness in this world, no matter how many wicked people they were. Now, we know today, in humanistically speaking, our humanistic religions that are built upon humans trying to figure out God rather than just trusting what God's word says. Yeah. They would say, how could a loving God allow or do this or that? They fail to remember that God is just and holy and self-sustaining. He's a sovereign God. He reigns regardless if we voted for him or not.
Amen.
He's still God Almighty in control. And no matter how many wicked their people there were, he judged them.
Yeah, that's right.
We might say, there's too many. Only 8? No. Let's just let them by. Well, that's how the whole process of man's thinking started way back before, to where there was only 8. And only one of that family household who was still looking for grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because everyone else, the Bible tells us, as we read a while ago, here's where humanity had gone. That old world had gone to this place where there was wickedness and it was great in the earth. Reminds me of 2022.
Yes, sir.
And every imagination of the thoughts of that heart of those people were evil continually. So God could have said, well, maybe it would have get better. No, what would have happened, it would have probably would have consumed Noah and his family to where there might have been one left.
Yeah.
And Noah would have been on the boat by himself, so to speak. Right. God shows great, we'll see this later when we look at the time frame of Abraham and Lot. Abraham was praying for 50 righteous in that city to be spared. But he knew in his heart there weren't even 50 righteous people to be found. And he began to petition with God. Well, how about 45? How about 40? He kept going down, knowing, and God finally agreed to 10. If 10 righteous people would be in that city, he'd spare them. And only Lot and his wife and his 2 daughters left that city. And even Lot's wife, because she had so much Sodom in her heart, turned back. And God turned her into a pillar of salt. So I don't understand that. Me neither. I don't understand what all that means about the pillar of salt. I'm sure somebody wrote a whole book on it. But I know God judged her. He judged her, and Lot and the daughters had to go on because God destroyed. The scripture says he overthrew that city. When God overthrows it, he overthrows it. There's no power that can stop it. And we'll get into more of that later. But as the scripture teaches us, man was wicked. Most all the men and people of mankind was wicked. And there are many contexts of things in the Old Testament when God created the law after the flood. I believe a lot of those laws, especially in the sexual realm, where it will be repeated again in the book of Genesis concerning the days of Lot. And Jesus spoke in the book of Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, which is what time you're living in now.
Yes, sir.
Even though there wasn't a law before, mankind ran in wickedness. And it, after, even before the law came later, mankind ran in wickedness. So God established the law with some of these special precepts and laws and statutes concerning the abomination of certain things. Amen. And he set those up in the scriptures to warn mankind. And here we are again today, very few righteous people. And so, God, Noah found grace. I want to be one of those seeking grace.
Amen.
I want to be a grace seeker. Amen. I know I don't deserve it, because grace is technically just God giving you what you don't deserve.
You're right.
Now, let me repeat that. Grace is when you get more than you ever deserved. Amen. Yeah. Mercy is when you don't get the judgment that you should have got. I believe that. And I'm seeking for grace. I want to be just, but I know that pursuit of justice and walking, justifying, is through Jesus Christ my Lord. The Bible plainly teaches that. I want to be perfect and complete, but I know I have no perfection in my own. The only thing I can do is to pursue righteousness, seek His face, pray, read my Bible, obey the commandments towards my family, my wife, fellow man, even strangers, and even my enemies, as Christ gives many teachings. So, that sinful world and the environment around it, God judged it no matter how many, but He spared no matter how few.
That's right.
Can you think about that? God could have said, eight, it's not worth build an ark. And somebody said, well, how in the world can Shem, Ham, and Japheth and Noah build that ark? Well, they had 100 years. I think I could build something in 100 years.
Right.
Now, I know he preached along the way a little bit. Now, I know some of you, I've been around some. You know Jason, real good at carpentry, brother Donnie, brother Bobby, and brother, I won't pick on all of you, leave some of you out. But some of y'all, brother Wade, he can do electrical work. You know, might not have been much need for that on Noah's Ark, but you know what I mean. There's a lot of trade skills in people that they could do things. So a lot could be progressed there. It's amazing to think that God said, I'm going to give him a plan. It's going to be absolutely excessive. And I'm going to call these animals to Noah. Can you imagine? Say, Noah, you got about 120 years. It's probably going to be cut short to 100. There's going to be 120 years space available. You got to go chase after the zebras and the kangaroos and all that. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. God didn't make him do that. God demonstrated his power of creation and called those animals. And two by two, they came, male and female. Otherwise, there would have been no procreation of the species. And then seven of the clean animals were used, would become, so there could be procreation of the species. But then when Noah's ark would settle later on Mount Ararat, he would be able to offer a sacrifice. When the flood settled, he'd be able to offer sacrifice unto God and create and establish in the new world,
yes,
worship with God.
Yes, sir.
So no matter how many few believing, God was still full of mercy and grace.
Right.
Even in that story, in that context. And I'm glad God's still very gracious and very merciful,
yes,
very long-suffering, yes, in our day. I think we all agree we're living in probably some of the most wicked times any of us have ever lived in. And if you were in charge of pulling the plug, some of you would have pulled it a long time ago.
Right.
And I know I would have probably done it too. But God has been long-suffering and gracious and allowing the mercy that people could still hear the gospel. That Jesus saves and His blood forgives and cleanses sin, and they could believe and trust in Him. As they got in the ark, you and I could be in Christ and be saved from that wrath to come. So that's just verse 4, so I have to stop. There's no way verse 5 is going to ever, verse 6. That was verse 5. Verse 6, 7, and 8 in there kind of go together. And I got wound up on that a little bit, so I've got lots of pages for that one. So some of it's scripture, copy text, but we got some scripture to go into in the Old Testament, New Testament that I wanted to use. But when God sees this world today, I know He sees the wickedness of man. And Christ, when He was here, when Jesus was on this earth, He didn't by mistake speak His words as in the days of Noah.
Right. You're right.
and as in the days of Lot. They're prophetic to help us realize that the atmosphere of those days is going to be a lot like the days when Jesus comes back. Now understand, many empires have come and gone, and they've fallen this same depravity. They've gone this same way, and it ended up being their destruction. Rome and all, a lot of Egypt, Rome and Greek, a lot of them just got destroyed from within. So many sexual perversions and stuff. Their culture just collapsed. Other countries came in and wiped them out. And some of them are buried under sand, and now people get excited about digging them up. But God's judgment came many times because His word was not heeded or listened to. But we are what I believe are in the perilous times of the Bible and in the last days. And we look around us and we know that if God sees this evil and this wickedness, I think we need to pay attention to the lens of the Word of God, knowing we're living in some perilous times. These are the days like Noah's days and the days of Lot. So we'll look at those scriptures concerning those sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the sin that is connected with those cities. That is a very prevalent hot topic today. But the Bible does have clear scripture on what it's about. And the judgment that come upon them and what took place. So we'll be kind of going in Genesis again next week, Lord willing. So let's go ahead and close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, God, to help us to rightly divide it. And I pray, God, that you would use your word. You promised that your word would not return unto you void. Yes. Lord, I know many of my words are empty and void, but yours never is. And God, you said it will prosper in the thing whereto you have sent it. I pray, Lord, it'll go out, that you'll remind us of the day we're living in, Lord, but never forget that we have received that grace of God, the grace that saved us. Lord, your mercy and long-suffering is all around us. Lord, we know we all deserve to be in hell, but your mercy and grace, God, came into our life. Thank you, Lord, that we found that safety, that protection from the judgment of God in Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Lord, if there be one here that is not truly a place, save in faith in Jesus, that they are in Christ and have trusted in you for their Savior, I pray that you'll speak to their heart today, show them their need. I thank you, God, you have provided salvation through Jesus Christ. And God, that we are safe and preserved and kept by the power of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.